Good morning. I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus. And joining us today are Professors David Ryder and Daniel Chacon, and they're here to talk about a special program, Study Abroad. It's a program that's been around at UTEP and other universities as well, but this is something that we want to talk to you about because it's very exciting, and if I understand correctly, I think it's space is limited, so we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us
here today. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Now, as I mentioned, let's start with you, David. Study abroad, you know, a lot of universities have study abroad programs, and some of them also perhaps link them with international exchange programs. But when you're talking about the study abroad, you guys specifically have different areas that you go. It's not like just going and studying for a semester in Greece or in Japan. You pick a certain topic, certain author, because you guys are, you know, creative writers and novelists and all that. So tell us a little bit about how your program perhaps may differ from other study abroad programs.
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, a big difference is our wonderful students here at UTEP. You know, we live in a binational, bicultural region here in the desert southwest, and our students therefore come to us with some certain very specific and very valuable cosmopolitan characteristics. They understand how to deal with multiple cultural situations, multilingual situations, and how to be able to, you know, get by in the world with those skills that they have as really part of their birthright living in this area. So I would like to bring up actually was something that Patricia Witherspoon made clear to Daniel and I a few years back, which was that we would like to do something with our study abroad that really enhances those skills, those cosmopolitan skills that they already have, bring them to other situations and other dynamic world cultural settings where they have an opportunity to understand their strength in terms of dealing with people from other places in those people's home settings. So Daniel and I bring a group of students. Daniel's from the creative writing department. I'm from the English department. I teach classes, especially in Shakespeare and theater, also in expatriate literature. Literature is written by people who are not native to France and England, but who have moved there for their writing careers. And this year we'll also do some concentrating on French literature more generally. We also team teach, and Daniel teaches classes on literary forms, the forms of creative writing. And we bring these students together, and they have an opportunity to take up to 9 hours, the undergraduate students, up to 6 hours, the graduate students, to forward their degree plans. And we spend a lot of time while we're over there attending events like theater events. We do tours. We do actors' workshops. We do literary readings. We see the sights of the city together, but we see it particularly through a literary lens. And that also is a remarkable experience with the students because they will have read some literature. They will have found themselves immersed in some small pieces of the culture that they're going to be in, and then they're there. So let's say they read Hamlet, for instance, and then they find themselves with one of the theater directors from the Globe doing an acting workshop, and then they see the actual play in the actual Globe Theater. And from there, maybe the next day, we take the train to Stratford, and they can see Shakespeare's birthplace and then see where Shakespeare is buried and potentially see another play. It deepens and enriches their experience of the literature, but it also does it within that literature's home, within the birthplace of that literary tradition, which is something that I think the students find really, really beneficial to their understandings of literature, but they're also to their understandings of place and people and the culture they produce.
Daniel, when David was talking about the fact that, you know, our students are unique, and sometimes people might say, well, you know, studying at UTEP could be almost like studying abroad because you have international students and some of these students experience both countries.
Yeah, the interesting thing about where we are is, yeah, that we are so close to the border and we have so many students who are Mexican nationals that study here. And the majority of our students are bilingual, English, Spanish. But many of them never leave El Paso Juarez area. If they do, they might go to Dallas or they might go to Austin, and that's really the extent of their travel experience. So as binational as they are, as urban as they are, their travel experience in general is incredibly limited, and this gives them an opportunity to leave the country, to go to Paris for a week and walk around in Paris like a writer, or to go to London for a week. And one of the things that that I think most students really find surprising in a very positive way is before they go into Paris, for example, they're worried that they don't speak French and that they're not going to get along. But the fact is you can go to France, and many people do, knowing only English or your native language in English. But the second really most popular language in Europe is Spanish. And so students from El Paso who are bilingual are incredibly, incredibly privileged when they go there, and they are able to negotiate the city in ways that just surprised them. They didn't realize how much Spanish there was going to be. They go into a place, if they don't speak English, they'll speak Spanish. And this is also true of London, not just Paris, but London. There are so many Latin American communities there, and they feel at home. They feel immediately like, wow, I'm prepared for this. And I think that surprises them a lot. But
David mentioned Shakespeare and you know, going and visiting his birthplace, watching something at the Globe Theater. And you, as David mentioned, are with a creative writing program. So tell us a little bit about, do you choose different authors as well that you kind of pinpoint when you go on these trips?
Well, I think our classes complement each other. David teaches a literature class because he's from the English department, and I teach a creative writing workshop because I'm from creative writing. And in a creative writing workshop, the emphasis is on their writing. So students will write poetry, and then we'll meet in a cafe, or we'll meet in a park across from the Notre Dame, or we'll meet in classroom space if the weather doesn't permit, or we'll meet somewhere around the city, and we'll go over each other, just like the relationship the expats had. You know, like I'll be the Gertrude Stein, and you know, all the other students will be the Hemingways and the Scott Fitzgerald. And the reading that I assign to students is related to what they're working on. So if a particular student is writing a poem that I think is very similar to the spirit of a Pablo Neruda poem, I'll assign them Pablo Neruda. But I'm not teaching a literature class. Dr. Ryder's teaching a literature class. And so this is an opportunity for our creative writing students to do what writers do. They go to other countries and they write and they observe and they write more. But they got even more an advantage because they can actually take a literature class and read the expats. One of the things that I'm going to encourage, we're both going to encourage, is that they watch that movie Midnight in Paris, you know, which is about the expats and that era with Hemingway and Gertrude Stein. And we're going to actually show them some of those spots and probably even sit in some of those spots. And I'm going to say, open up your journal and write, free write for 15 minutes. And that will help them develop things. But that's my emphasis, not literature, not assigning books, but assigning literary works that are going to supplement what they're writing.
I'm glad you mentioned the journal writing, because you and I have discussed this in the past, and you know, a lot of writers are aware that if you're out there experiencing something, it's better to write that in your journal, and you can write down what you're seeing, what you're experiencing, as opposed to being at a desk somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing is, when you go to other countries as a creative writer, not as a journalist, but as a creative writer, and you write, you're most likely, what you're going to be working on has nothing to do with the city. The city experience is going to go in your journal and in your memory. And then when you get back for the rest of your life, you have experience in Paris. You have experience in London, and it's going to show up in your creative work. It may not show up immediately. Like when we workshop somebody's poems, it may very well be, a majority of the poems may very well be set in El Paso, have to do with Ciudad Juarez, which is great because you're not going there to write about Paris. You're going there to write, but Paris will be with you as a writer for the rest of your life.
David, what about Daniel mentioned a little bit about the journal writing and other things like that. So students may be wondering, okay, so we're going to Paris, we're going to London. What kind of assignments are we going to have? Because some of them may worry about the fact that, well, you know, if I'm going to Paris and London, I'm going to be so overcome with the travel and everything else that I may not have time to study or do a research paper or anything like that.
Yeah, sure. So a little bit about the schedule. 10 years ago, the then dean of the College of Liberal Arts was that was Howard Dowdesdale then, who's now our provost. And when he and I sat down to talk about this, we had a few objectives. One was to keep it very affordable for our students. The second was to maximize the time away while we were away. And the third was to make sure that they did get the complete academic experience, because if we're only going to be there this time about 15 days, that's a very short period of time to take a class. So what we do, what Daniel and I do, is that we take care of our classroom work, both online and face-to-face, while we're in El Paso, before we leave and after we return. Now, they're going to do some writing and journaling. They're even going to do some group projects, get those together while we're over there. But by and large, we are going to spend our time in Paris, in London, getting to know those cities, the people of the cities, the artistic achievements of those cities, the culture there. So the majority of the time we spend there is very focused on being there and absorbing as much as we possibly can in those places. As a group, and then increasingly, the students will find their own smaller groups and find that they have some special interests that they want to discover while they're in those cities, and they'll gain confidence, you know, with the metro system or the tube system in London, about being able to visit some things that they've had in their imaginations. So, as far as the classroom work goes, we take care of most of that, either online or at home here in El Paso. There are some assignments that they're following through. There's some workshopping that Daniel mentioned that they'll do over there. But it's when they come back. I'll prepare them with their research before they leave. We'll go there. When they come back, they're going to have another 3 weeks before that's due, after they get back. And so they have time to work on that at home.
David, I'm wondering, and I'm sure it's changed a lot. You mentioned, you know, 10 years ago, with the social media now that people can capture just about every moment with, you know, their phone or any other device, it's got to be very different from the way it was, you know, before, when you were writing down everything and taking pictures with film, stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, now Daniel is more social media savvy than I am, so he could maybe talk more about that. But, you know, it is interesting to see the students. I'll tell you one thing about our students in terms of social media while we're there. A lot of them put it away, for the most part. Or they work on it a little bit while they're in the cafe, or first thing in the morning or last thing in the day. But it's such a huge experience to be in these places that, you know, they run themselves ragged making sure that they see everything. That in Paris, you know, when the students had some time to themselves, you know, they're going to the catacombs, they're going up the Eiffel Tower, they're taking a river cruise, they're finding more foods that they've always dreamed of eating if they ever got to Paris, right? They're visiting bookshops, they're going to the cemeteries to see where some of their favorite authors or their favorite music stars are buried, right? And this is how they spend their time over there. They often talk about how physically tired they are at the end of the day, and some of them, you know, now one of the apps on their smartphone. Some of the students were telling me that they were averaging over 8 miles a day in Paris, because that's how they're moving around the city. They're getting around.
And I mentioned at the beginning of the program that the fact that there maybe space might be limited. So what do people need to do to register for this class and find out? I guess people might wonder, do I have to be a creative writer major or an English major?
Well, one of the things that, first of all, they should understand that they don't have to take both classes. They can take the creative writing workshop, or they can take the literature, or they can take both. And the second thing is, as long as you're a student at UTEP, fill out an application, and I'm sure they're probably going to be space for you. We do encourage our majors, of course. I'd love to have a bunch of creative writers there. to enhance not only their experience but the experience of the department in general, but anyone that's a UTEP student can apply.
As we're wrapping up here, the final program in minutes of the program, seconds actually, if you wouldn't mind giving us the dates and perhaps a website or a number that they should call, Daniel or David?
Sure. So the easiest way to find out more about the program is to contact either Daniel or myself through our email or even through our departments, if that's the easiest way to do it over the radio. Or they can contact the Study Abroad office at UTEP as well. The number for Study Abroad at UTEP is 747-6273, 747-6273. So that would be the easiest way to get more information. The dates of the actual travel, we would be leaving El Paso on May 26th, and the study away portion of the classes will end on June 10, at which point most of the students will fly home. A few may go on to visit yet another site in Europe before they return home.
Thank you very much for being with us here today. We've been visiting with Professors David Ryder and Daniel Chacon, talking about the Study Abroad program. And if you want to find out more about the Study Abroad program, you can go to the UTEP website and then in the search button type in Study Abroad. But that takes place this coming summer, and that's from May through June. Thank you all very much for being with us here today.
Thank you.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Lauren Terrazas. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Luis Sainz.